Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. It is great to be with you. Boy, do we have a big show today. We are going to, this week, look at the Mass readings for the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe, known better as Christ the King. You know, this I find this incredible because this is the final Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday, guess what we begin? We begin the season of Advent. Isn't that incredible? So what a great topic to discuss today, the kingship of Jesus Christ. This is a great way to end a liturgical year, and it's a great way to prepare for the upcoming season of Advent. You know, we fade out of one season, ordinary time, and we end up the church year, and then we head into the new season of Advent, a time to prepare. To prepare to welcome Jesus more fully into our lives. And you know, here's the thing. We only got 4 weeks to do it. So next week, we are going to be discussing the Mass readings for the first Sunday of Advent. And then we only got three more weeks after that. There's not a lot of time during the Advent season. You know, it's funny. Lent seems to be so much lengthier, and it is. But the fact that we're typically giving up something for Lent seems to make it even feel longer. But I really believe that we can make the most of this Advent season. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's my last chance to help us to remember to prepare for Advent before next week when we begin Advent. So we'll talk more in a few minutes about how I think we can work together on growing closer to Christ during Advent and finding peace during the often hectic pre-Christmas season, which we Christians call Advent. Without further ado, let's focus on prayer before we begin to look at the Mass readings for the solemnity of Christ the King. Let's pray. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father right now. Let's first recall that He is present with us, that He loves us, that He created us out of nothing because He wanted to have a relationship with us. Let's remember that He hears our words, that He can read our hearts, that He can see us, that He loves us unconditionally, and that it pleases Him when we turn to Him in prayer. So let's do it right now. Let's pray to our Heavenly Father and officially kick off this show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank You for being present with us. Father, we're so grateful that You always make time for us. You're never too busy to spend time with us. We thank You for being present. We thank You for loving us into existence. We thank You, Father, for providing for all of our needs from the time we were first conceived. We thank You, Father, for sending Jesus into the world to redeem us and making it possible for us to live with You forever in heaven. Father, we ask You to forgive us in case we failed in any way. Maybe we didn't do something we should have done. Maybe we did something we shouldn't have done. Please forgive us, Father. Please grant us the grace that we need to become holy and to please You. We pray that we can one day live with You forever in heaven. We pray for our material needs while we're on this earth. You know that we have needs. Please give us what we need. Please help those we love. We lift up those who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for encouragement and hope for the discouraged. We pray for all those who are looking for work, especially the unemployed. We pray for the country, the United States of America. We pray that once again, Father, Your name can be prominent in our country and that we can see an end to the division, the hatred, the violence that's so obvious in our country every day. We pray for those around the world who are suffering due to weather-related conditions, various natural disasters, poverty, government oppression, religious persecution, war, terrorism. We pray for everyone around the world, Father. We pray for the souls in purgatory. As we continue to proceed through the month of November, the church encourages us to pray for the souls in purgatory. So, Father, we ask You to have mercy on them. We especially pray for the souls of our deceased family and friends and those who have no one to pray for them. We pray, Father, that we can find in ourselves an increased desire to prepare to welcome Jesus during the Advent season. And we pray for a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit today, Father. I ask you to give me the words through your Holy Spirit working in me, the words for this program so that I can deliver your message. And I pray also, Father, that you'll open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we can hear the message that you have for us. On the remainder in this on this program throughout the remainder of the time we have together, that we can hear your message and put it into practice in our lives. Lastly, I want to make sure we pray for the church, our Holy Father, Pope Leo, all of our bishops, all of our priests, all members of religious orders, all members of our church, all of our separated brothers and sisters, our non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters. We pray for an increase in vocations. We pray for those who are currently in formation for the priesthood or the religious life, for the diaconate. Father, we ask all these things in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you know that I could have gone on for a while. I was starting to really feel the prayers today, and I got to cut it short sometimes because I want to make sure that I have enough time to discuss the readings. But I want to thank you for praying with me. You know, it's easy. I don't know if you feel this way, but I find it very easy to go through the motions sometimes when I pray. I forget because I don't feel the immediate effects of the prayer. Of my prayers, I don't always feel God's presence. More often than not, I don't feel his presence. But I find if I really work at it and ask the Holy Spirit for help and try to focus and, focus more on the presence of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. If I'm praying the rosary, focus on the presence of our Blessed Mother. If I'm speaking with St. Joseph, you know, focus on his presence and the fact that he's listening. If I do that, if I become aware, or I make myself aware of the presence of whoever I'm praying to, I begin to feel it a little bit more, and I begin to realize that what I'm doing really matters. And I would encourage you to do the same thing, whatever works for you. But above all, I'm going to just encourage you that I want you to know, and please don't ever forget, your prayers make a difference. A lot of times we might not feel it. It might feel as if our prayers don't make a difference. And, you know, I'm just speaking for myself. Maybe you feel the same way at times. We don't feel it, but we have to remember that prayer is all about faith and belief and truth. So whether I feel that my prayer makes a difference or not, it doesn't change the effectiveness of the prayers. By faith, we believe that prayer matters. And when I ask God for something, he will answer. He might answer yes, he might answer no, he might answer not yet. He might answer, I'm going to give you something even better. But he will answer in his time, in his way. I believe that, and I think that if we begin to really emphasize that, and sometimes I just have to tell myself, you know, you're not feeling it. You're not getting, you don't feel, you know, we're not praying and putting money into a vending machine and getting some instant reward. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes it does, but most times it doesn't. And I have to remind myself, this prayer's mattering to somebody. If I'm praying for an end to war, something that seems almost impossible, doesn't it? I have to believe that God, first of all, God is bigger than any war. He could end war if he wanted to, but we have free will and he respects our free will. But I believe when I pray for an end to war or terrorism or, you know, something even seemingly impossible as a lack of division in our country, that God's going to answer in some way. It might be a very small way. He might touch one or two hearts. And believe it or not, if somebody refrains from posting a nasty comment on social media, that's a step forward in achieving peace. You know, so maybe our prayers are touching one or two hearts. Only God knows how effective our prayers are. We might be touching thousands. When we pray for the souls in purgatory, thousands of souls may be getting released. We don't know. But that's why we're called to walk by faith as Christians. Not easy, right? It takes work and the help of the Holy Spirit to keep us going. So I'm going to encourage you to keep praying, especially if you've been praying for a long time for something that you're not getting. I honestly can relate. So what you know what? I'm going to invite you to do this. Email me, gary@followingthetruth.com, if you're struggling with that. If you need some extra help, if you need me to pray for you to keep you going. The worst thing that we can do is stop praying. And it's so easy sometimes, unless we make up our mind that we're not going to stop praying, especially for maybe a family member who's just not coming around. Maybe they left church and they're not coming back. Maybe they're struggling with addiction. Maybe you're lonely and you're praying for a companion or some kind of friend in your life. Maybe you're sick and what you're hearing from the doctors just is not promising. And after a while, or maybe you're praying for a family member and the news just keeps getting worse and worse. You almost want to stop praying. I would encourage you not to. I would encourage you to, while you are praying, for instance, for healing for someone or for yourself, always tag that prayer with, "But your will be done, Father." That's the way Jesus prayed. And when we pray like that, we're not copping out, or we're not trying to make sure our prayers get answered, you know, by going with a lame prayer like, "Oh, bless this person, bless that person." You know, sometimes we pray like that because we're afraid to get too specific because we don't want to get disappointed. But it's not lame or a cop-out to pray, "Father, heal my husband of his cancer. However, your will be done." And that's praying the way Jesus prayed. That's praying according to the will of God. It's a fantastic way to pray. So I always try, when I'm praying for something, especially something that seems very unlikely to happen or even impossible, I first remind myself that all things are possible for God. And then I ask, because that's stepping out in faith, "Lord, please heal my relative of cancer." But then I pray, "Thy will be done." Because what I don't know is what God knows. He knows what's best for that person. He knows what's best for me, even though I don't always know what's best for me. You know, and that's hard. That is hard to accept. But that's the way our faith grows, when we just step out and say, "Yeah, but Father, you know what? Not what I want, but what you want." Anyway, I didn't mean to speak this much about prayer and faith, but I thought it was necessary. I just felt it today. So anyway, thank you for joining me. My name is Gary Zimak. We do this program every 30 minutes every week. This week, we're looking at the Mass readings for the final Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is the Solemnity of Christ the King. Next week, we begin Advent. If you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can find out how to invite me to speak at your parish. You could purchase my books there. You could sign up for my daily "Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled" email reflection. You can especially purchase my book, "Find Peace in Advent," which is, now would be a good time to get it. You can still, here's what we're going to do. You could still get it. It might come a little late since we're only a week away from the beginning of Advent, but it's not too late to purchase a copy of the book now, "Find Peace in Advent." But what we're going to do is, if you sign up for my daily email reflections, which are totally free of charge, each day during Advent, I'm going to focus on the particular verse from the book, "Find Peace in Advent." But I'm not just going to pluck material from the book and put it in the email reflection. I'll share a little excerpt, and then I'll give you a little additional commentary, maybe why I chose this verse for the book, maybe why it's important. So we can walk through the Advent season together in my daily email reflections. Now, if you want to sign up, you could do it now by going to followingthetruth.com. And again, it's free of charge, and submitting your email address. You'll see something on the website, "Sign up for Gary's daily emails." You sign up for it free of charge and cancel, unsubscribe anytime you want. But we can walk through Advent together. And you can do that also with the book, "Find Peace in Advent." If you want to get a copy of the book, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com as well. Let's see what else. Oh, and on the program beginning next week, we'll also touch on the material in the book, because the material in the book will pertain to the particular Sunday that we're discussing. So first Sunday of Advent, we'll talk about the material in the book a teeny bit, and we'll also look at the Mass readings. So I want to walk through Advent with you. We'll do it together, okay? So I look forward to joining you throughout the Advent season. If you have any questions, followingthetruth.com is my website, or you can email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, now it's time. Let's look at the readings for the Solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, commonly referred to as Christ the King. We're going to look at how Jesus is a different kind of king. Let's start with the Gospel, Luke chapter 23, verses 35 through 43. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Well, even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there is an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Look at that. Isn't that amazing? And this is a reminder for us. The world does not recognize, I'm not saying everybody in the world, but the world in general, the non-Christian world, or the people who live their lives as anything but Christians, they don't recognize the kingship of Christ. And they might look at us Christians and say, "Well, they're stupid doing that. Why are they having faith? There's no such thing as faith. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the church," and so on and so forth. Well, that's what was happening during the time of Christ. Now, the fact of the matter is, what they didn't know or what they refused to accept is the fact that Jesus was indeed the king and that he could have come down from that cross, but he didn't. He was up there by free will to die for the sins of everyone, including the people who were putting him to death and criticizing him. His kingship is not of this world. And during Advent, one of the challenges for us is to take our eyes off of the many distractions, the pre-Christmas rush, and work to find Jesus and to prepare for him. He's invisible. The kingdom of God is invisible. The distractions of the world and in our lives, they're visible. They're real. They're a lot easier to accept than Jesus and the invisible kingdom. That's why we have to work at it. Our senses get in the way. And that's what was happening in Calvary as well. Those people who were criticizing him, they didn't recognize him as king. But the one thief, the good thief hanging on the cross, recognized his kingship and said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, please remember me." And Jesus said, "Today, you're going to be with me in my heavenly kingdom." That's the spirit we need to have if we expect to get to heaven. That humility, that walking by faith, learning that our senses deceive us, choosing to believe by faith in the kingship of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And that's what we're going to work on during Advent. First reading, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. "In those days, all the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, 'Here we are, your bone and your flesh. In days past, when Saul was our king, it was you who led the Israelites out and brought them back. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and shall be commander of Israel.' When all the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron, King David made an agreement with them there before the Lord, and they anointed him king of Israel." Now, we look at this reading and the gospel today, we're going to see this theme of kingship. David was a foreshadowing of Jesus. He was the king of his people who ruled. You know, David messed up. I mean, no doubt about it. He did some things wrong. But for the most part, he ruled according to God's will. And that's what all earthly leaders should be doing. They don't all do that. But they should be ruling in a way that represents the kingship of Jesus. And looking out for the best interest of the people. Being just, being fair. Helping the people. That's what a true king does. And again, when we look at the kingdom of God, we're not going to see it. You know, sometimes we'll even look at people in the church, people in positions of leadership, and we think, oh my gosh, these people are leading us? They're not doing a good job. They're hypocrites. Well, just remember that Judas was one of the initial bishops. He was one of the apostles. It's not like Jesus didn't know who he was choosing. There's a lesson there. We're all sinners. But that doesn't mean we are not part of the kingdom of God. As Christians, we are. Even with our failings and our shortcomings. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 122, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. I rejoiced because they said to me, we will go up to the house of the Lord. And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city with compact unity. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. According to the decree for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord, in it are set up judgment seats. Seats for the house of David. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. The idea of Jerusalem represents not only the kingdom of God, but also the church, the visible presence of the Lord on earth. Again, you're not going to see necessarily a kingdom. You're not going to see Jesus sitting on a throne. You're going to see him work through the church. You're going to see him in what looks like a white piece of bread, the Eucharist. That is Jesus. Sure doesn't look like him, absolutely, but it is him. And we believe that by faith, not by sight. It's the same way with the kingdom. You know, Jesus chose to come into the world and be sacrificed on a cross. He could have stopped it. He could have come as an earthly king, but that wasn't God's plan. He'll come back as a king one day when he comes in glory. For the first time, in his humility, he came in a way that we just can't understand. But nobody asked us, right? This was God's plan. I know, it's hard, isn't it? That's why we walk by faith. Let's look at the second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. It begins in verse 12. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might himself be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. Now, here's something to keep in mind before this show draws to a close. The kingdom of Jesus is invisible. He's the king, and the church proclaims him as king of the universe. But we can't necessarily see him sitting on a throne. We can't see him ruling as king over the earth because it kind of looks like a mess out there. We believe by faith that he is in charge. Now, if he is the king, we as his subjects are called to follow him, to obey him, to let him rule over our lives. Because he's a good king. He cares about us. He only wants what's best. Is Jesus Christ really the king of our lives? Do we obey him first and foremost? Or do we obey ourselves? Do we do what feels good? Do we obey other people at the expense of obeying Jesus? No matter how much we say, yes, Jesus comes first, there are times that we all slip up. There are times that we put our own needs and wants ahead of the needs of Jesus. Sometimes it's in little ways, sometimes it's in big ways. Advent is the time to look at our lives and address those issues where we may be messing up, where we may need to do some work, where we may not be obeying our ruler, Jesus Christ. We might be following other kings, obeying other kings. That king could be ourself. I don't know. It depends. During Advent, we have the opportunity to work on getting things back to the way they should be. I'm excited about Advent. I'm looking forward to journeying through Advent with you. Remember, find peace in Advent. We're going to talk about the book, the daily reflections. You can sign up for those. Let's do it together. Let's work on it together. We only are going to have 4 weeks during the Advent season. It's going to go quickly. We're going to have a lot of distractions. We're going to have to focus. But we can do it. We can do it. And I look forward to making that journey with you. If you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Reach out to me. Let's talk about it. Know that I'm praying for you every day. And it's a blessing and a privilege to be able to walk with you. Not just during the Advent season, but throughout the year. So thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Get ready for Advent. We're going to start next week. God bless you. And God willing, I'll be able to join you again next week. Bye-bye.